Has Philip Roth finally said goodbye to Nathan Zuckerman? Over the course of 3 decades and 9 novels, Zuckerman has been Roth's fictional alter ego, once the literary hellraiser and now, in Roth's new book Exit Ghost, an infirm writer in decline. Many critics believe that Roth himself, at 74, is still at the height of his literary powers, a winner of 2 National Book Awards and a Pulitzer Prize. He's the American writer most often mentioned as a future Nobel laureate. He's also the only living writer to have his works published by the Library of America. Roth rarely consents to interviews, and he's famously guarded about discussing his private life, but he recently agreed to talk with Steve Paulson.
Your last 2 novels have examined the ravages of aging. In Exit Ghost, your narrator, Nathan Zuckerman, suffers from both incontinence and impotence, the result of prostate surgery. Why have you chosen this as one of your subjects, the breakdown of the body?
Well, some years ago, I began to notice that it was all going on all around me. When I was writing American Pastoral, I think, it was as though every third friend of mine suddenly had prostate cancer. The reason? Well, we all had reached a certain age. We were all men over 60 and were in the pool. And so I gave that prostate cancer, that illness, to Zuckerman in American Pastoral because I thought it was of his time. And the same thing with forgetfulness, which he begins to find that he can't remember what he's writing while he's writing it, which is a terrible impediment to writing a book.
Now, you contrast the aging of Zuckerman with the vibrancy of youth. There's the beautiful young woman whom Zuckerman becomes infatuated with, and then there's also a young writer who's out to make his reputation by writing a scandalous biography of Zuckerman's own literary hero, a short story writer named E.I. Lonoff, and Zuckerman soon butts heads with this biographer, Kleiman. And this becomes, to some degree, a contest of wills. And it's fascinating how you write about this conflict because it's really not just a literary argument. Isn't it also, to some degree, a test of virility? A sort of, you know, can Zuckerman measure up against this young guy?
Absolutely. In a way, Kleiman brings back the virility, but there's the failure of the virility. Kleiman is a dynamo, angry, strong, no fool. And Zuckerman is weary. That's what he discovers. He wearies very quickly in this contest and realizes that he can't win it.
Well, there's a passage where you get at some of this, and I'm wondering if you could read that for us.
Sure. Zuckerman's voice, Zuckerman's speaking. I would have hung up again, but I was the curious one now, curious to see how dogged and smug he intended to be. Without its ever turning outright belligerent, the unfaltering forward march of the voice made clear he was prepared to do battle. It was unexpectedly a passing rendition of me at about that stage, as though Kleiman were mimicking, or as now seemed more to the point, deliberately mocking, my mode of forging ahead when I started out. There it was, the tactless severity of vital male youth, not a single doubt about his coherence, blind with self-confidence, and the virtue of knowing what matters most, the ruthless sense of necessity, the annihilating impulse in the face of an obstacle. Those grand grandstand days when you shrink from nothing and you're only right. Everything is a target. You're on the attack, and you alone, are right. The invulnerable boy who thinks he's a man and is seething to play a big role. Well, let him play it. He'll find out.
And then Kleiman, the young biographer, goes on to say, old men hate young men. That goes without saying. Do you think this is a common scenario in the literary world? The young lion who's trying to take down an older, established writer, and then the older writer fighting back?
I wouldn't know. I just make it up as I go along, you know, and hope that it has some attachment to the real world. I remember when I was a young writer that my older colleagues were a bit impatient with me, I remember, and sometimes told me I didn't know what I was talking about. So it may be unsettling sometimes for older writers to see someone coming up. On the other hand, I've been rewarded with great generosity by some older writers, so I don't think there's a, a law here.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you've said, that Zuckerman is not only dealing with his failing body, he's also dealing with his forgetfulness. And, I mean, there's a very real question about whether his mind is starting to go. And he must be wondering, how long can he keep writing? And the suggestion is that this is especially important to him because he's concerned about his legacy. Doesn't he say at one point, without my work, what would be left of me?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern with the legacy so much as a concern with living a life. That is, if this is taken away from him, what will he do? What will he be? Yes, he has what he calls at one point a disordered mind. And he's just written a book, he tells us at one point, with this disordered mind. And it's the first time that he has finished a book where he feels he's made it as good as he can, and it isn't as good as it ought to be.
Let me turn this question back on you. I mean, what we've just been talking about, Zuckerman, I mean, most critics would say that you are right now at the height of your literary powers, but I'm wondering if this is something that you worry about, that your power as an imaginative writer will start to slip.
I don't worry about it. I sort of know that it will happen someday. It does to everyone. Luckier men are able to retire from what they do. And the doctor and the lawyer retire from their jobs and play golf. The writer doesn't seem to retire. Look at Mailer. He was writing right down to the very end, despite all his physical handicaps. So it's a strange kind of work which you can't stop doing. No, they just keep writing and writing and writing, and then they die.
So you will never stop writing as long as you're physically able to.
I thought you were going to say you'll never die. I thought you know. This fellow knows something.
If only I had such cognitive powers.
I think I'll keep writing for as long as I can, yeah.
Now, there's another question that you address in your novel. I suppose you could phrase it in various ways, but one way is, does biography help us understand a writer's imaginative work? And it makes me wonder whether Zuckerman is leery of all biography, or is it just the kind of biography that Kleiman wants to write, this sort of this scandalous book about a famous writer?
I think it's the latter. He has no argument with the genre of biography, but it's the uses to which biography can be put by the ill-equipped that's bothering him.
This is clearly a theme that runs throughout not only this novel, but much of your work, sort of the connection between fiction and memoir, fiction and biography. What did you want to – did you want to say something in particular on that issue with this book?
No, I have no general point to make about biography. I read them, as a matter of fact. I don't know if I care about what I think you referred to as the creative process. It's just that if there's a writer who's impressed you, whose books have meant a great deal to you, then you're curious about the whole life. I recently read a new biography of Conrad, as a matter of fact, and I don't think it tells me about the process by which he writes. We can all imagine what that is, but it tells me what the shape of that whole life was and what he did with himself when he wasn't writing.
That's interesting. So you don't look for details in his personal history and say, oh, that helps me understand this particular novel he's written.
Not really. About a year ago, I reread an excellent biography of Hemingway by Carlos Baker called Hemingway. And there are facts that emerge in Hemingway's life, and you say, yes, that turned up in such and such a book and so on. But I don't find that the most interesting aspect of, say, Hemingway's life. What's more interesting is what he did with his good brain, what he did with his talent, how he lost his talent, and so on.
Are you especially, when you read biographies, are you especially interested in reading about other writers?
Mostly, I think I do read about other writers, yeah.
And novelists, do you spend much of your time reading other novelists as well?
You mean reading fiction?
Yeah.
I don't read much fiction. I did in decades past, but if I read fiction now, it's a fiction of some giant of the past who I read long ago in the past and who I want to read again to remember. So in recent years, I've been reading quite a bit of Conrad, some of which snuck or sneaked, some of which got stuffed into this book. And I've been reading Turgenev and several others.
Does that inspire you when you go back and read, let's say, some of these 19th century writers? I mean, does that sort of fire up your imagination?
No, I'm self-firing. No, it's just curiosity, really, that leads me into them.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, as you know, everyone who reads one of your novels, especially a novel like this featuring Nathan Zuckerman, wonders how much of Zuckerman is in Philip Roth. And to some degree, it seems that this novel is your response to that question. You're sort of saying that's the wrong question. We need to read fiction on its own terms, as you've just been saying. But it's also very interesting because I've just been reading, there's a biography that's coming out about you. Ross Miller is someone you've known for years, and you've granted him access to your papers from what I've heard. And I guess it raises the question of what you think about how your own life might be rendered in a biography.
I think it was Oscar Wilde, or maybe someone else, who said that biography gives a new dimension of terror to dying. So there's your answer.
Do you worry about reading this biography when it comes out?
If I'm lucky, I won't be here. No, I don't know. You know, it's just another rite of passage. I thought they were all finished, but if you've achieved something in a certain field, then you earn a biographer, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It sounds like you're saying it goes with the territory that some of the details will be wrong.
Yes, and worst of all, some will be right.
Now, Zuckerman has been in many of your books. Rumor has it that this is his last appearance. Do you think it is?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think the ending is there in the book. He withdraws back to, leaves New York and races back to his rural sanctuary. And I think one feels that his energy is spent and that mine is as well.
Hmm. Thank you. This has been a pleasure to talk with you.
Good. Thank you.
The award-winning author Philip Roth. He spoke with Steve Paulson. Roth's latest novel is Exit Ghost.